All right, Rabosei, good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Kuf Aleph 101. First of all, yasher koach to those who were able to make it out last night. I know it was a late daf. Halavai next year. Tisha B'Av will just be a regular day. A regular day filled with much simcha. Daf will be at regular time. Maybe because it's a Yom Kippur, we'll start even a little bit later, like at 6:05, something like that. But we have a beautiful, beautiful daf ahead of us today. So we'll say today's daf is Kuf Aleph 101, second line down from the top. Tana Rabbanan. So we'll say, so remember again, as I mentioned last night, today we're going to be focusing pretty much exclusively on the episode of that's described in the beginning of Parsha Shmini, which is the inauguration of the Mishkan. 101a, second line down from the top. Tan Rabbanon. Ki kein tzuveisi. So what's I say? The pasuk that we're speaking about over here, the pasuk says, Ba'achaltem osa b'malkom kadosh, you shall go ahead and eat the carbon in a sanctified place. Ki chok cha, for it is an everlasting statute for you, for your children, from the fires of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kukain Tzuveisi, for this I have commanded. So says the pasuk. So says the Gemara. Kukain Tzuveisi, Kasher Tzivisi, Kasher Tziva Hashem. There are three different lashonos, we'll say, that are used in the context, ultimately, of commanding the Kohanim to go ahead and eat the karbanos in a sanctified place. There's Lashon of Kikein Tzuveisi, for I have commanded, Kasher Tzivisi, I have commanded, Kasher Tziv Hashem, as God has commanded. So the Gemara says, why the three different Lashonos? What's the message from each of the Lashonos? So here we go. Kikein Tzuveisi, Ba'aninos Yochlu. So we'll say from Kikein Tzuveisi, we're going to discuss this in further depth. That teaches us that the Kohen Gadol goes ahead and eats Karbanos, even in a state of Aninos. So also, remember again, yesterday's daf, we focused a lot in terms of what is the definition of aninos, right? When does aninos begin? And more specifically, again, truth is not really a shayla when aninos begins. What's the shayla? When aninos ends. That's the fundamental shayla. But leaving that aside, right now what the Torah is teaching us is that halacha l'maaseh, a kohen gadol will go ahead and eat karbanos even in a state of aninos. We're going to qualify the scope of that in just a little bit. Kasher tzivisi, as I have commanded, b'shas maisa amar lahem. Ultimately, again, he told them this when the episode occurred. Which episode are we referring to? Look at the last line on the top, the last wide line on the top of Rashi. B'shas maisa, kishiru lahem aninusam, amar lahem, shelo yimnu me'achilas kachin. So we'll say, remember, again, what are we referring to? What aninus are we discussing? This is the death of Nadav and Avihu. So we're going to discuss over here that during the death of Nadav and Avihu, Moshe Rabbeinu commands the Kohanim to continue to consume the karbanos that are being offered. So Kasher Tzisi B'Shas Maisa tells the Kohanim that even when they are owning him, they have to go ahead and consume karbanos. So the Gemara says, Kasher Tziva Hashem, as HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded, what does that phrase mean? Lo me'elai ani omer. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron and to his sons, this is not something that I am making up. This is not the halacha that I am coming up with, but rather, again, this is the command from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So here's what we have, and now we have to obviously further develop this a lot more, which is what we have now, is that halacha l'maisa, the Kohanim seemingly have an obligation to consume karbanos, even in a state of aninos, in the aftermath of the death of Nadav and Avihu. So Gemara raises the kasha. Or mini, mipnei aninos nisrafav. Now let's take a step back. So we're going to learn, and this is actually very exciting, that on the day of the inauguration of the Mishkan, there were multiple karbanos that were offered. Amongst the karbanos that were offered was the chatos of Rosh Chodesh, what they call the seer of Rosh Chodesh, which was the karban chatos. So the Gemara says, the Torah says, that Moshe Rabbeinu discovered that Aaron and his sons did not eat the chatos, they burnt the chatos. Now remember, under normal circumstances, a chatos is something that is consumed by Kohanim. Some of it is burned, some of it is be'ach. Some of it is consumed. Moshe Rabbeinu discovered that they had burnt the chatos, and he didn't understand why. We're going to focus on that. So the Brayson out here says, do you know why they burnt the chatos? They burnt the chatos because of aninos. Right? At the end of the day, because they were onanim, they could not eat the karban chatos, they could not eat the seer, and therefore they burnt it. Lekach ne'emar ke'ela. Therefore, I will say, the pasuk says what? Ke'ela. In other words, Moshe says, that is Vatikra'ena osi ka'ela. Aaron says to Moshe, these events have occurred to me, the death of my two sons, and therefore, again, I could not go and eat their carbon. So what's that? You hear the kasha. We just said before that based on the drasha on the pasuk, that kohanim eat karbanos even in the state of aninos. And yet here it appears that they did not eat the chatas. The chatas was burned. Why? Because they were in a state of aninos. So which one is it? To kohanim eat during aninos or not eat during aninos? To which the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel lo kasha. It's not a contradiction of Osei, but rather, what is it? Difference of opinions. Ha Rabbi Huda, ha Rabbi Nechemya. We'll say two different opinions. One reflects the view of Rabbi Huda, one reflects the view of Rabbi Nechemya. Get ready, we'll say, here we go. Disanya. Mipnei aninos sarfu. We'll say, this really, you know, this, I want to tell you, the reason why this Gemara, I think, is so incredible is a number of things. First of all, it's interesting just to see in the inauguration of the Mishkan, ultimately, again, to see all the different karbanos that were offered, what we call kachei shag, kachei doros, certain karbanos that were unique for the time, versus certain ongoing karbanos. But I think what's also incredible over here is you see there's a sub-dynamic. And the sub-dynamic is the balance of personal needs and avodas Hashem in times of grief. What happens when a person endures loss? Obviously, again, there is the need for one's own personal needs, but there's the need to continue to be an Eved of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and how to balance those two dynamics, in this case, in a dramatic fashion. So that's also, Kohen Gadol obviously also is the paradigm of spiritual service. So we'll see all of that here. So here we go, Disanya. Mepne aninos sarfua. They burnt the chatos because of aninos. Lekach ne'emar keila. Therefore, Aaron HaKohen says to Moshe, "Vatikra ena asi keila. If these types of events occur to me, ultimately, again, how can I possibly eat the carbon?" Rav Nechemya. So, Rav Nechemya is of the opinion. Here, what does everybody agree with? Everyone agrees that Aaron didn't eat the chatos, and the chatos was burnt. Why does everybody agree with that? It's a mafurish pasuk in the Torah. That pretty much you can't argue with. The Shaila, or the Machlokis, is going to be, why? So the first opinion, Rabbi Nechemya says, that it was because of Aninos. Because Nadav and Avihu died, therefore Aaron and his sons will not eat the Chatos, and therefore they burn the Chatos. Now, obviously, you know where this is going. The Shaila is going to be what? So why just the Chatos? There are other Kabbalahs also for that day. Okay, we'll get to that. But that's Rabbi Nechemya. Rabbi Huda, Rabbi Shimon say, no, Mipnei Tuma Nisrafa. They actually held say that the reason the chatos was burned was because it contracted tumah. It became tameh. And that's why ultimately, again, they had to burn it. We'll discuss where or why or how. Shim'atom ne'aninos nisrafa. Because if you want to say that Aaron instructed that the chatos be burned because of aninos, then what? Hayu l'shlashtan shisrafa. I will say, there were three karbanos that were brought on the day of the inauguration. We're going to discuss them. If, Rabbi Nechemya, you are correct, that the reason the chatos is being burnt is because of aninos, then why is that just the din in the chatos? That should be a din in all of the karbanos of the day. So we'll say, so fundamental machlokes, Rabbi Nechemya and Rabbi Huda. Everybody agreeing the chatos was burnt, Rabbi Nechemya because of aninos, Rabbi Huda because of tumah. Dover acher. So we'll say another possibility, another version of this. Hayu ra'i l'achlan la'erev. So we'll say, remember again, there's another issue. Even if you want to say that it was because of aninos, then what Rabbi say? The other issue is, why did they just eat it at night? Remember again, aninos d'oraisa is only bayom. Let's assume for a moment that aninos d'oraisa does not continue into the following night. Especially again, remember, Nadav and Avihu are also buried immediately, right? They don't wait till the next day to bury. They're buried that day. So if that's the case, granted, even if you want to say because of aninos they can't eat the chatos, let them eat it that night. Davar acher. Furthermore, there's another issue. V'alo Pinchas hayu'ima. And both say, now this is very interesting. There was another Kohen. Who was the other Kohen who was there? Pinchas. Now I know what you're thinking, but one second. That's not true. Pinchas doesn't become a Kohen until Parshas Pinchas. Hold on to that just a little bit. Rava Amar, so we'll say, see, here we go. Davar acher, v'alo Pinchas hayu'ima. In other words, there was another Kohen who wasn't an Onain. If there was another coin that wasn't an Onin, why not give the carbon to him? So Rava Amar Rava says, there's another way to resolve the contradiction. Edivi Rabbi Nechemya. Both statements, Rabbi Osei, both the statement that says that a coin who's an Onin can eat the carbon, and a statement that says a coin who's an Onin can't eat a carbon, both reflect the view of Rabbi Nechemya. So Rabbi Osei, so how do you understand? How do you understand the seemingly contradictory statements? Velo kasha, kan bekad shesha, kan bekad shedoros. And I will say, there is no contradiction. One is talking about Kod Sheh Shah, one is talking about Kod Sheh Dora. So we'll say, What does this mean? That it could be that when it came to what we call Kodshei Doros, so we'll say Kodshei Doros are karbanos that were going to be offered on an ongoing basis, right? Non-unique karbanos. We'll say for those karbanos, the halacha was that if the kohen was an onen, he was not permitted to eat them. But the unique sacrifices, i.e. karbanos that were unique to the inauguration of the Mishkan, those karbanos were consumed by kohanim, even what? Even in a state of aninos. Oh, so now it begins to make sense a little bit. The Seer of Rosh Chodesh Shabbosai was not a unique inauguration karban. The Seer of Rosh Chodesh actually is every single Rosh Chodesh. So that Aaron and his sons did not eat in a state of aninos. The other two karbanos, which we will discuss, which were unique inauguration karbanos, those were consumed even in a state of aninos. So the Gemara says, Kamikachi Shah, Kamikachi Dos, Rabbi Nechemya, Heichi mitaris lahani kroy. V'rabbanon heichi mitaritzi lahani kroy. So we'll say, so now the shayla is, how Rabbi Nechemi and the Rabbanon are going to read their respective shitos into the actual narrative of Parashat Shemini. And we'll say, here we go. Rabbi Nechemi mitaritzi lahani. So we'll say, Rabbi Nechemia understands the conversation between Moshe and Aaron as follows. Madua lo achalta. We'll say, this is really incredible. So Moshe, Rabbeinu, remember, comes to Aaron and his sons. And remember, again, actually, the way it worked was, Aaron went over to Elazar and Itamar, and he asked them, why did you not eat? Rashi HaKadosh points out is that Moshe Rabbeinu does not approach Aaron out of kavod to Aaron. He doesn't want it to look like he's second-guessing the judgment of Aaron. He is, but he wants to give kavod to Aaron. So he goes over to the sons. He says, Madua lo achaltem, why did you not eat the se'ir of Rosh Chodesh? Remember, we're talking about one carbon specifically over here. The sechatos of Rosh Chodesh. Why did you not eat the se'ir? Amru la Moshe la Aaron. So we'll say, now, in this narrative, Moshe then says to Aaron, Shema nichnas doma lifnai v'lifnim. So we'll say, this is very exciting because this draws on our previous zvachim knowledge. Maybe you took the chatos blood inside the Mishkan. Let's remember again, what's the halacha if you take chatos blood inside the Mishkan? It's possible. So Aaron, maybe you made a mistake. There's a lot going on today. Maybe you accidentally brought chatos blood inside the Beis HaMikdash. Amar lo hein lo huva es dama. So ultimately Aaron says, nope, I didn't bring the chatos blood inside of the Beis HaMikdash. Of the Mishkan, I'm sorry. Shema chutz l'mechitzasa yasa. Maybe you took it outside of the Mishkan. In other words, maybe you took it outside of the walls of the Mishkan also. Which what? Which also would invalidate it. Amar lo ba kodesh haisa. To which Aaron responds, nope, the blood remained in the kodesh. V'dilma ba aninos akri v'suha. Upasol suha. So maybe again you offered up the seir in a state of aninos, and therefore you pasled it. Amar lo Moshe. So Aaron says, Moshe, my brother, V'chiheim hikrivu? Do you think my sons offered it? Remember, my sons, who are regular Kohanim, to whom the restrictions of Anino supply, Enachinami, if they would have offered it, then Enachinami, they could have passed it. Ani Krafti, I'm the Kohen Gadol, and I offered it, and a Kohen Gadol is Makriv, even Onen. Well, if that's the case, so Moshe Inu says, okay, so let me get this straight. So first of all, let's review. The blood was not brought inside to the Kodesh. Uba Kodesh Haisa. And ultimately, again, it wasn't taken outside of the Kodesh. And you are the Kohen Gadol. So if that's the case, Achol Tochlu Oso Kasher Tzivisi. Ba'aninos Yochlu. So Moshe says, I don't understand. So why didn't she eat the chatos? So I don't understand what happened here. Why was the chatos not consumed? Amrlo. To which Aaron says, "Vatikra'ena osika ila va'achalti chatas hayom hayitav be'enei Hashem." So Aaron says to Moshe, my brother, after these events occurred to me, so do you think it would be appropriate for me to eat the chatas today? Would this be good in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What was Aaron saying to Moshe? Shema, listen to this. Listen to the respect that the brothers have for each other. Shema lo shamata. So he says, my dear brother, maybe when you heard that a Kohen Gadol is makriv onin and eats karbanos in a state of aninos, maybe that was only b'kodshei shah. Maybe that was only when it comes to the unique karbanos, unique to the inauguration. D'i b'kodshei doros, because if you think I'm supposed to eat these karbanos, ultimately again in a state of aninos, even with kachidors, we'll say kachidors means ongoing karbanos. Kavachomer mi meiser hakal. I could have made a kavachomer ultimately from what? From meiser sheni. What's the Kal v'chomer? Uma Meiser HaKal Amra Torah Lo Achalti Ba'oni Mimenu. But when it comes to Meiser Sheni, which the Rebbe says is considered to be the quote-unquote most Kal, most lenient is maybe the wrong word, but the most Kal. Least restrictive type of sacrificial item or consecrated item, I will say. Because again, remember, it's eaten by the owner. The restriction is it has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. And yet, what does the Torah say? Lo'achalti ba'oni mimenu. You're not allowed to eat Ma'aser Sheni in a state of aninus. Bekodshe doros l'kol shekein. All the Mosra will say what? In a case of kodshe doros, karbonos, which are going to be offered from here on in, they should not be consumed in a state of aninos as well. So we'll say, so what Aaron counters back to Moshe, I will say, do you hear the beautiful way the brothers speak to each other? This is how brothers, this is how Jews speak to each other, I will say. At least how we're supposed to speak to each other. You know, each time, you know, Moshe doesn't come in guns blazing. What's going on over here? Who did this? Heads are going to roll. Nobody ate the chatas. Hey, he doesn't say that. He says, maybe this happened. Maybe this happened. Maybe this happened. And Aaron says to Moshe, Moshe, maybe you misunderstood the halacha. Maybe the halacha of a Kohen Gadol eating karbanos ba'aninos is only because they shah, for the unique karbanos associated with the inauguration. But for kodshei doros, ultimately, again, for future karbanos, maybe again the Kohen Gadol does not eat in a state of aninos. The seer Rosh Chodesh Avosai is not unique to the inauguration. It's an ongoing karban. I ate the other ones, as we'll discuss, but ultimately, again, this one we didn't eat. So we'll say, what happens? Vayishma Moshe vayita be'enav. Moshe heard Aaron's explanation, and he said, my dear brother, you're absolutely right. Hoda velo bosh Moshe lomar lo shamati. Moshe Rabbeinu was not embarrassed to say, you know what? He wasn't embarrassed to say, oh, I never knew this halacha. Ela amar shamati v'shachachti. Let's say what he says, Aaron, you know, you're absolutely right. That is in fact what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had taught me, and I forgot. I made a mistake. I thought the halacha was that a Kohen Gadol is supposed to eat everything in a state of aninos, not just kodshei shah, but also kodshei doros. But now that you said it, that is in fact what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to me, that the din of a Kohen Gadol eating ba'aninos is only in kodshei shah, not kodshei doros. It was such a magnificent, beautiful avas chinam exchange. Brothers speaking to one another beautifully and nicely without accusations and strong words. Maybe this, maybe this, maybe this. And Moshe Rabbeinu showing us the incredible strength of character. That when you're wrong, just say you were wrong. It's okay. It's okay. Hold up, hello, Bosh. He admitted the fact that his brother was right. He was wrong. You know, sometimes when we're wrong, we try to, you know, it's like an admission without guilt. You know, I admit that I'm wrong, but really, I was right. I'm wrong, but I'm going to tell you why I'm right. Because if you understand my words like this, or I said like this, and in the context like this, I really was absolutely correct. So we're both right. Right? So the idea is, no, it's nothing wrong with saying a person's wrong. So the greatness of Moshe is, I was wrong. I made a mistake. And again, remember, Moshe is saying, I made a mistake in that I misunderstood the word of HaKadosh Baruch. Moshe Shalom taught me something. Not that I misunderstood. I forgot it. Aaron, you were right. So we'll say, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Heichem, and Tartzu. So we'll say, that was Rabbi Nehemiah's interpretation of the narrative between Moshe and Aaron. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Heichem, and Tartzu. So we'll say, what did Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon do? So we'll say, so Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon understand it as follows. Hachim, and Tartzu. Madu ala achaltam esachatas. Right, b'makom hakodesh. So we'll say, so Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron, or this is well, it's not Torah. So tell me, why did you not eat the chatos? Right, did something happen? You didn't eat the chatos. Shema nichnas damal lifnai v'lifnim. So we'll say, at first, the narrative sounds the same. Moshe Rabbeinu says to Aaron, maybe you accidentally took the blood into the kodesh hakodesh, right, into the kodesh. And therefore, again, invalidated it. So we'll say, maybe you took the blood inside the structure of the Mishkan. Amarlo, hein lohuvas dama. Ela kodesh pinu tuch. Aaron says, nope, I didn't take the blood inside. The blood has remained out here the entire time. So says Moshe, shema chutz l'mechitzasa yatzasa. Maybe the blood was accidentally taken outside of the Mishkan. That's why it's invalid. Amarlo, hein bakodesh haisa. Nope, blood was inside the kodesh, inside the courtyard of the Mishkan the entire time. Bedilma ba'aninos akrivosua upasuha upasaltuha. So maybe Aaron, you accidentally went ahead and offered it up in a state of aninos, thereby invalidating the carbon. Amar la Moshe, hein hikrivu de pasabu aninos. Ani Yigravtiha. So Aaron responds, Moshe, it's not my son. It's not that Lazar and Itamar offered up the carbon. So remember again, Abosai, by regular Kohanim cannot offer up carbonos in a state of aninus. It goes without saying they can't eat it. They can't even offer it. A Kohen Gadol is makriv onin. He has the ability to offer carbonos even when he's in onin. So Aaron says to Moshe, the boys didn't give the carbonos. I gave the carbonos. Let's listen to this. The Dilma Agav Murarayhu Pashatuba Vit Maribo said, this is incredible. So then what does Moshe say to Aaron? Aaron, maybe because of your pain and because of your bitterness, not like bitterness, like anger bitterness, but just because of your profound tragedy, maybe you just weren't vigilant with the carbon and it became tame. Maybe that's why you burnt it. So I said, listen to this. This is amazing. This narrative is a bit more sharp. You know, this is a little bit sharper. Amar la Moshe, kach ani be'einecha, shani mevaze kodshe shamayim. Moshe, is this how you look at me? Is this how you view me? That I'm the kind of person, ultimately again, who would not treat carbonos with the utmost sanctity? Vatikra ena osi ka'ela. Literally, vatikra osi, even if these things happen to me, vafilu ela v'ka'ela. Aaron says, even if multiple tragedies like this, chas v'shalom, occur to me in the same day, ein ani mevaze kodshei shamayim. Aaron says, I would never stop being vigilant with carbonos. In other words, Aaron was offended. In this narrative, Aaron was a little bit offended at Moshe Rabbeinu's suggestion that maybe because of his grief, he just wasn't as vigilant regarding the carbonos, and something accidentally became tameh. So the Gemara says, Amar lo, v'i hei lo huvas dama. So to which Moshe Rabbeinu says, okay, so let me understand this. So if that's the case, that the blood was not taken inside the Mishkan, the blood was not taken outside of the walls of the Mishkan, you chas v'shalom were not lax in your karbonic service as a result of your grief, if that's the case, so ultimately again, so Moshe says, I don't understand, so why did you not eat the carbon? So why did you eat? Because after all, again, you are the Kohen Gadol, and therefore, again, you eat even ba'aninos. Amar lo, to which Aaron says to Moshe, Shema lo shamata ela balayla. My dear brother, maybe when you heard that a Kohen eats, right, or a Kohen eats ba'aninos, maybe what that refers to is what Rabbi was saying, aninos of the following night, so, right? Not the day of the actual death where the aninos is d'oraisa, but maybe only the night following the aninos. The ibayom, because Moshe, if you think that I should eat the carbon during the day, it doesn't make sense, and I'll tell you why. Kal v'chomer mimaiser hakal. So Aaron says I can bring a kal v'chomer ultimately in from maiser sheni. Uma maiser hakal amra Torah lo achalti ba'oni mimenu. So when it comes to maiser sheni, I will say, which is, as we said before, the most lenient. Of what we call sacred or sanctified items, yet the halacha is you cannot eat of it in a state of aninos. Kodesh chamer l'kol shekin. Or the most Rabbi says Aaron to Moshe, when it comes to actual karbanos, I don't think that it's appropriate to eat of it during the day of aninos. Maybe when you heard from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that there was a license to eat it in a state of aninos, it meant that night. We'll say that's based on yesterday's daf. We've already seen a distinction between aninos yom and aninos laila. To which the Gemara says, Miyad vayishma Moshe amud beis, vayishma Moshe vayitav be'inav. Moshe Rabbeinu heard, and ultimately again, he accepted the explanation. Lo bosh Moshe lomar lo shamati. Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't embarrassed to go ahead. Remember, the simple answer, meaning if Moshe Rabbeinu did not want to admit anything, he could have just said, okay, I never heard this before, but I'll take your word for it. That's not what he said. Ela shamati v'shachachti. Rather, people say, what did he say? He admitted the fact that he had learned it, but he had forgotten it. I learned the halacha, I forgot the halacha, you now reminded me of the halacha. So we'll say, ultimately, again, what we see over here now is the distinction between the two versions is as follows. In Rabbi Nechemiah's version, the reason Aaron doesn't go ahead and partake of the karbanos is why? Is because halacha lemaisa, the license for consumption in a state of aninos is only by kodesh shah. was only by the Karbanos which were unique for the inauguration of the Mishkan, do not apply for Kodshei Doros, for Karbanos that were going to be brought on an ongoing basis. Therefore, Aaron does not eat the Seir de Chatos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, what's happening over here is as follows. The license for Onen consumption is only Balayla, not by day, not by yom. Suppose that according to this logic of Rabbi Yudram Nechemiah, if that's the case, what should have happened? So they should have left the chatos to consume it when? To consume it that night. In other words, that's not what happened to them. Remember, what did they do with the chatos? What did they do with it? They burnt it. So why are you burning it? In other words, I understand, according to Rabbi Nechemiah's issue, according to their narrative, so a Kohen Gadol, even a Kohen Gadol is an Onen, can't eat the Karban the day of Aninos. Fine. So leave it till that night. You'll eat it that night. But also remember again, for a Chatos, that night is still the permitted window of consumption. So just eat it then. Why not leave it that night, until that night? To which the Gemara says, Rabbi Osai, Tuma Ba'ones Basa. So this is actually an amazing explanation. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. Tuma ba'onis basa. So we'll say, what does this mean? And we'll say, this is a very, very, very important yisod. So when they left it out, once they left it out, so what ended up happening, Rabbi Osai? Tuma ba'onis. It became tame. It became tame. How did it become tame? So the Gemara doesn't give us the, look at Rashi. Tuma ba'onis. Sheratzu la'ashos adalai lo'uloch. When kulon yachad. B'nit meis ba'onis. Something happened. Whatever it is. A sheres got there. Something happened. But the carbon, so there, in other words, the Gemara says, their intention was what, Rabbi Osai? Their intention was to eat it that night. That was their intention, to eat it that night. But because they left it out, it became tame. Rabbi Osai, brother, do you understand the incredible Moser? Do you understand the incredible Moser? When you have to accomplish something in life, you have to do it right then and there. Because if you leave it lying around, then what happens? Tuma ba'ones basa. If you leave it lying around, tuma sets in and prevents you from ultimately actualizing your goal. If something has to get done, don't kick the can down the road. Jump on it and do it when you can. Because the moment you leave sacrificial aspirations, sanctified aspirations lying around, tuma ba'ones basa. Such an incredible yisod. So Bishlam the Rabbanan, so I'll say now again, so you see, I promised you dramatic gemara today. So I'll say, so you understand now what's happening over here, is that you have two, the bottom line is the same, meaning, because the story is a story. The chatos was burnt. They didn't eat the chatos. But you have two very interesting and different narratives as to what is happening, why Aaron and his sons are not eating the chatos. So Bishlam the Rabbanan, so we'll say, according to the Rabbanan, I understand why it says, Hainu dechsev hayom. So we'll say, I understand, according to the Rabbanan, ultimately, again, why it says hayom. El Rabbi Nechemiah, my hayom. But what does Rabbi Nechemiah ultimately do with the word hayom? If you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, Bishlam the Rabbanan, Rashi says, the Amri echad kachay shav, echad kachay doros, Laila hotel lahem below yom. So we'll say, according to the Rabbanan, ultimately, again, this was a din and aninos yom. All kabanos would be brought, could be eaten that night. I understand then why Aaron says the word hayom. See, I can't eat it today, but we were going to eat it tonight. But tuma va'ones basa. El Rebbe Nechemiah, my hayom. But according to Rabbi Nechemiah, what does he do with that word hayom? Because we also remember, according to Rabbi Nechemiah, the fact that Aaron didn't eat the Seir of Rosh Chodesh had nothing to do with day versus night. What did it have to do with, according to Rabbi Nechemiah? Excellent. Shah versus Doros. It's a distinction, ultimately, again, between Karbanos that are ongoing versus Karbanos which were linked to the inauguration. So, my hayom, chovas hayom. It means the Karbanos that were obligatory that day, i.e., the Kodshei Shah. Bishlam of Rabbi Nechemiah, Hainu Dechsev, Hein Hayom. So what's going to Rabbi Nechemiah, I understand why it says what? Why it says the phrase Hein Hayom. El Rabbanan, my Hein Hayom. But according to the Rabbanan, ultimately, what do they do with the phrase of Hein Hayom? Hachi Kamer, this is what it means to say. Hein Hekrivu. What Aaron was saying was Hein is actually a reference to Aaron's sons. He was telling Moshe, do you think they offered it? It wasn't they who offered it. It was me. Ani Hekrafti. Amar Mar. So we'll say, listen to this. Hayu l'shlashtan sheyisrefu. So now, using this logic, that ultimately, again, the Seir of Rosh Chodesh was burned, so why only the Seir? All three Karbanos should have been burnt. So we'll say, so what does this mean? My shlashtan. So first of all, before we delve into this, what are the three Karbanos of the day? Disanya. So we'll say, here we go. The Asir Achatas Darosh Darash Moshe. So Seir, so we'll say, what's the Seir? Zu Seir Nachshon. We'll say that refers to the Seir of Nachshon. Now, what does this mean? On the day of the inauguration of the Mishkan, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says Seir Nachshon, Sha'osi Hayom Haya Rishon Lahakravas Nesiim. Both remember again, the day of the inauguration of the Mishkan was also the first day where each of the Nesiim brought their tribal offerings, right? The Chanukah HaMizbeach, the dedication of the Mizbeach. So we'll say, so the Seir, that first, remember, Nachshon ben Aminadav was the first Nasi. So that ultimately, that's the Seir of Nachshon. Chatos, Zu Chatos Shmini. We will say the Chatos, that refers to the special Chatos that ultimately, again, was brought for the inauguration. So that, we'll say, was Kodshei Shah. That was the unique, so far, Seir Nachshon, and what we call the Chatos Shmini, those are what we call Kodshei Shah. Those were karbanos that were unique for the inauguration. Darosh, Seir Sharosh Chodesh. And that word Darosh, we'll say, that refers to the Seir Rosh Chodesh. So we'll say, remember again, three karbanos brought on the day, two Kodshei Shah, the Seir Shmini, or the Chatos Shmini, as well as the Karban Nachshon, the Seir Nachshon, those are Kodshei Shah, Seir Rosh Chodesh, Kodshei Doros. Yochosh, Lashta, Nisrefu, so you might have thought that all three were burnt. Tamalom, Arvihine, Soraf. But yet the Pasuk says that what? And behold, it was burnt. Echad nisraf, velo shlashdan nisrafu. Only one carbon was burnt, not all three. So, darosh darash, shtei drishos lamas. So, also remember again, Moshe goes ahead and hears, or he sees, that one of the carbonos was not burnt. So, shtei drishos, so the lashon of darosh darash means like a double investigation. Why a double investigation? Shtei drishos lamas. Amr lehu, mipnei ma chatos zun nisrafa. Ve'elu munachos. So I'll say, what Moshe Rabbeinu was intrigued by was two things. Number one, why was the chatas burnt? And what's the follow-up question? Why are the other two not burnt? In other words, Moshe has a double question. Why is the chatas of Rosh Chodesh, why was it burnt? And again, then second question, follow-up question is, why are the karbanos not all accorded equal treatment? Ve'eni yodea, ezu. And at first glance, I wasn't sure which carbon we're referring to. Kishu Omer va'osa nasan lachem laseis es avona ida. But then when the Pasuk says, Moshe says to Aaron, Baruch Hu is giving you this carbon, ultimately again, to literally atone for the sin of the congregation. Havi Omer, I would say, ze si'ir Rosh Chodesh. Ultimately, I'm going to say this refers to the Seir Rosh Chodesh, because remember, the Seir Rosh Chodesh, remember again, this goes back, by the way, to like our hardiest days. Right? Remember again, we learned about all the different Seir Rosh Chodesh, Seir of Yom Tiv, that all atone for different things. So the Seir Rosh Chodesh ultimately, again, is Mechaper al Tumas Mikdash Vikadasha, learns in Shavuos also. Seir Rosh Chodesh ultimately is Mechaper for accidental entry into the Beis Hamikdash in a state of Tumah, or consumption of sacrificial items in a state of Tumah. So the Gemara says, Shapir Kamerleng. Then ultimately, again, I understand Moshe Rabbeinu's statement. Rabbi Nechemiah Latame, Da'amar, Kod Sheisha, La Pasla Behu Anina. So we'll say Rabbi Nechemiah goes according to his reasoning, because what's his Shita? Rabbi Nechemiah says that ultimately, again, Kod Sheisha, the karbonos which were unique to the inauguration, were done even in a state of Aninos. Therefore, Aaron offers up the Chatos Shmini, as well as the Seir Nachshon, because those were unique to the inauguration. But he does not, he offers up, but then burns the Seir Rosh Chodesh, because that was Kodshei Doros. So the Gemara says, Kodshei Shah L'Apostle Baninos. Amar Mar, Hayilo L'Achla L'Erev. Ultimately, again, why doesn't Aaron? So I understand why Aaron won't eat the Seir Rosh Chodesh by day. Why? Because he wasn't owning. And Aninos precludes even the Kohen Gadol from consuming the Karban on the day of Aninos. Fine, just leave it for that night. What's the big deal? To which the Gemara says, Shapir Ka'amrile. So he says back good, Kasavra Aninos Laila Da'oraisa. Because he held, apparently, that Rabbi Nechemiah holds that Aninos Laila Da'oraisa. So we'll say, therefore, again, bless you. Leaving it till the following night would actually not have obviated the problem. Otherwise, the problem is still there at night also. Because again, according to this opinion, Aninos Balaila Da'oraisa. Davrach, I suppose, remember again, Rabbi Nechemiah quoted his opinion, the Gemara quoted a number of different solutions, meaning even if you accept the premise that a Kohen Gadol could eat Ba'aninos, the Karbonos which were Kodshei Shah, but not Kodshei Doros. So the Gemara still advanced other options as to how the Seir of Rosh Chodesh could have been consumed. For example, davar acher, v'halo Pinchas haya imayim. But I'll say, ultimately, again, there was Pinchas. Pinchas was a kohen, and Pinchas wasn't an onim. So even if you want to say that Elazar and Itamar certainly can't eat it, they're onim, even Aaron can't eat it, because it's called Shedoros, give it to Pinchas. Pinchas is a kohen. So what happened? Why didn't they give it to Pinchas? To which the Gemara says, Shabri kamerlei, Shabri kamerlei, Shabri kamerlei, Shabri kamerlei, Lonis kain, Pinchas, at shahar go lezimri. Because if I say this opinion reflects the idea that what? Pinchas doesn't become a kohen until when? Until when? Until he killed Zimri. So we'll say, which is Pshuto Shal Mikra. Pshuto Shal Mikra is that Pinchas did not become, although we'll say, we're going to see that that's not necessarily true. That's a big machlokas, as we're going to see in the Gemara. Even though, and again, just so you should understand, it's Pshuto Shal Mikra for us because that's the narrative that we're used to. But as we'll see in the Pesukim, that is not necessarily the case. After Pinchas kills Zimri, Kodesh Baruch Hu gives him so brisi shalom, and brisku nas olam lo lezaro acharav. And we're going to see that it's quite possible that many say that Pinchas was already a kohen at the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the kuna to Aaron and his descendants. The kahuna became solidified for Pinchas' descendants after he killed Zimri. But we're going to see this. But according to this opinion, Pinchas only becomes a kohen after he killed Zimri. Therefore, at the time of the death of Nadav and Abihu, Pinchas is not a kohen. Because he's not a kohen, he can't consume sacrificial items. Therefore, again, there is no one to eat the chatas, so Aaron burns it. Brisku nas olam. Rav Ashi says, actually, Pinchas doesn't become a kohen until even later. Ad shesam shalom ben ashvatim. Shenemar vayishma Pinchas a kohen unisiya ha'ida v'rashi alfei Yisrael. This is actually amazing. There's another opinion that says that Pinchas actually did not become a kohen until later on in Sefer Yoshua. The Navi over here describes the idea that Bnei Ruvain, Bnei Gad, and Menashe built a mizbeach on the other side of the yarding. The other shvatim took this to be an act of avodah zarah. They are ready to go to war against the Transjordanian tribes. Pinchas leads a peace delegation to say, hey, before we go to war, what's going on over here? It turns out that they were not chas v'shalom going to go ahead. They were not trying to do avodah zarah. They were going to use that altar ultimately again as a bama, but for avodah Hashem, ultimately again not for avodah zarah. So Pinchas mamish averted civil war. He averted civil war. So the Gemara says. So therefore again, he doesn't become a kohen until then. But one second, what does this opinion do with the fact that the pasuk says, which sounds like Pinchas becomes a kohen at the time that he kills Zimri? That was only when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the bracha of the kahuna. But ultimately, again, he did not yet become a kohen for reasons we'll discuss in just a moment. So the HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives him the bracha of kahuna, but he doesn't actually become a kohen at that time. V'idach, Nami Haksi Vayishma Pinchas Akoin. Aye, but what is the other opinion do with the pasuk in Yoshua that refers to Pinchas as a Kohen? Hahu Liyaches Zaro Acharav. Both say that comes to go ahead and say that not only is Pinchas a Kohen, but what? His children also become Kohen. Both say, so I want to show you something amazing. So there's an opinion that apparently says, so first of all, Machlokes when Pinchas became a Kohen, three different opinions. Some say Pinchas became a Kohen together with Elazar, his father. When Elazar becomes a Kohen, Pinchas becomes a Kohen. Second opinion, Pinchas becomes a Kohen after he kills Zimri. Third opinion, Pinchas doesn't become a Kohen until Sefer Yoshua, when he actually makes Shalom. When he actually makes Shalom, ultimately, again, between the tribes, avoiding civil war. Now, here's what's amazing. According to the opinion that says that he only became a Kohen in Sefer Yoshua, so what does that opinion do with the Pesukim and Parashas Pinchas? So he understands that the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was giving him the bracha that you should be a Kohen, but he didn't actually become a Kohen. So what does that mean? Right, one day you should be a Kohen. Right, he's getting the brachas. So he said, look, he tells us in just a moment. This is incredible. Hahu bebrachu dechsev sheberchu HaKadosh Baruch Hu shiyeh Kohen umiyad hayoyochol liyos Kohen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the bracha that he should be a Kohen. And technically, he could have become a Kohen immediately. Ela shetchila tzarech lahalbisha ulamashcho lechancho b'chaditin. Kedin had yotos hamischanchim mechavitin. Rabbi said, but in order to become a kohen, remember there's an inauguration process for the original kohanim, right? You have to be dressed up in kohanic vestments. There are karbanos that are brought, and watch this. He goes on, aval shema lo nisratzu lo kol yisra ba'osa shah v'pnei shaharag nasi shevet. Rabbi said, this is amazing. According to this opinion, this Baruch Hu gives Pinchas the bracha to become a kohen and the license to become a kohen. But in order to become a kohen, he essentially has to be inaugurated by Klal Yisrael. He has to be dressed in the Bitei Kuna, and the Klal has to bring karbanos on his behalf. They refuse to do so. They refuse to do so. Why? Because they were upset at him that he had killed a tribal prince. Ad shesham shalom ben Ashratim me Yoshua. So what's according to this approach? Even though Pinchas was given the bracha of Kuhuna, ultimately, again, after he killed Zimri, apparently Klal Yisrael did not want him as a Kohen in the aftermath of killing a tribal prince. Again, for whatever the reason for that is, there can be a variety of reasons for that. They did not want to accept him as a Kohen. And therefore, again, he's not accepted as a Kohen until when? Until he makes shalom between the tribes and Sefer Yehoshua. Rabbi say, dramatically amazing. Here we go. Rabbi say, it gets better. Amarav, Moshe Rabbeinu Kohen Gadol. Wow. Rav says, in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu also served in the role of Kohen Gadol. V'cholik b'kodshei shemayim hoya. Not only that, but Moshe Rabbeinu actually had a portion in Karbanos. Shene'emar. So listen to this, because the pasuk says, Me'el hamiluim l'moshe hayi l'mana. Well, say the pasuk seems to say quite explicitly that the el hamiluim, the miluim sacrifice, Moshe Rabbeinu had a portion. So may say, so we'll say, now we're going to ask Akasha, is that true? V'alo pinchas hayi imohen. Remember again, the Gemara said before, even when Aaron burnt the chatos of Rosh Chodesh, why did he burn the chatos? After all, again, Pinchas was there, he could have given it to Pinchas, but I don't understand. Then Isa, first wide line, Kofala from the days. If you want to say, 101b, first wide line, if you want to say that Moshe Avinu was a Kohen, Leima Bahalo Moshe Avinu Ha'iman. We'll say Moshe Avinu was a Kohen, then what? Then why not say, give it to Moshe? Forget about Pinchas. Give it to Moshe. Dilma Shiny Moshe, let's listen to this. Maybe Moshe Avinu was different. Detarid b'shchina. I will say maybe Moshe Rabbeinu was different. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Kohen Gadol, but he wasn't really the kind of Kohen. He wasn't the kind of Kohen who ate karbanos. Why not? He was too busy. He was too busy with the Shechina to eat karbanos. I will say some people make time to eat karbanos, right? And Moshe Rabbeinu was too. He might have been a Kohen Gadol. He was tarid b'shchina. Dara mar Moshe v'ashkama alo v'ashkama yarad. Moshe Rabbeinu again went up. This is actually referring ultimately to Har Sinai, right? He went up to the mountain in the morning, early in the morning, and came down from the mountain late in the morning or late that night. The idea is that Moshe Rabbeinu was constantly preoccupied with the Shechina. So even if at the end of the day he was like a Kohen Gadol, or he was the Kohen Gadol, at the end of the day he just did not partake in sacrificial meat. So let's listen to this. The pasuk says, this is talking about a Kohen who is a Baal Mum. So if a Kohen is a Baal Mum, as much as he can't do the Avodah, he still has the right ultimately to partake of the Karbanos. So Lechem Elokav, the bread of his God, Mikadshei HaKadoshim, HaKadoshim Yochal. So we'll say, so the passage is a Baal Mum, could eat from Kadshei HaKadoshim and from Kadshim. Im Nemru Kadshei HaKadoshim, Lama Nemar Kadshim Kalim. Vim Nemru Kadshim Kalim, Lama Nemru Kadshei HaKadoshim. So say, Yiddish Shaila, the passage says that a Baal Mum could eat Kadshei HaKadoshim and Kadshim Kalim. Why do you have to say both? If he can eat Kachim Kadashim, then what? He can only Kachim Kalim. So I say, why don't you both? Ilu Ne'amar Kachim Kalim. Because if what I just said, he can eat Kachim Kalim. Ha'isi Omer Kachim Kadashim Hu Da'ochel. I'm sorry. Ilu Lo Ne'amar Kachim Kalim. If the Pasuk would not have said Kachim Kalim, then I would have said, he's allowed to eat Kachim Kadashim. Why? Shari Huchru Lo Lizar. V'lohen. Because remember, Kodshei Kadoshim could be eaten by a Zar, a non-Kohen. We'll discuss what this means in just a moment. V'lohen, and therefore it could be eaten by a Bamum. Kodshim Kalim lo yochal. But Kodshim Kalim he can't eat. V'ilu lo ne'amar Kodshei Kadoshim. And if the Pasuk wouldn't have said Kodshei Kadoshim, that a Bamum can't eat Kodshei Kadoshim, ha'isi omer b'Kodshim Kalim yehei ochal, I would have said a Bamum could eat Kodshim Kalim. Why? Shein Kalim, Kodshei Kadoshim lo yochal. L'kach ne'amar Kodshei Kadoshim, l'kach ne'amar Kodshim Kalim. So we'll say, therefore the Pasuk says that a Baal Mum could eat both Kodshei Kadoshim and Kodshei Kalim. We'll say, now watch this. What did the Gemara just say above? Here's the operative phrase for us, where this will stop. The Gemara said, Katoni miha, shari hudru lezar. The Pasuk said, I would have said that a Baal Mum is permitted to go ahead and eat Kodshei Kadoshim. Why? Because we'll say, we have recorded episodes of even a non-Kohen going ahead and eating Kodshei Kadoshim. We'll say, who is a non-Kohen who ate Kodshei Kadoshim? Lav Moshe. Is not referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Yosei, who seemingly had partaken of Kod Shekadoshim yet was not a Kohen. So we'll say here we see explicitly that what? Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't a Kohen. So can you say Moshe Rabbeinu was a Kohen? To which the Gemara says, no, it has nothing to do with Moshe Rabbeinu. He says, Lav, so the Gemara says, Lav Moshe, Amar Rav Sheshes lo, Bebama, Lezar, Kedivrei Omer Yesh Mincha Babama. Rabbeinu say, no. What it actually means is, Rabbeinu say, this reflects the opinion of the one who says that you could offer up a Mincha, which is Kod Shekadoshim, on a Bama. So let's remember again, a bama, which is a private altar, means anyone could offer it up, even a non-Kohen, and therefore you find an example, ultimately again, of Kodesh Kadashim being offered up by a non-Kohen. So we'll say, we'll stop over here for today, but I'm leaving you with a cliffhanger. Was Moshe Rabbeinu a Kohen Gadol or not? And Yiratz Hashem to be continued tomorrow.